Technology.ie, it's Wednesday, February 19th, 2014.
Technology.ie is brought to you by Ireland's premier hosting and domain registration company, Black Knight. Black Knight offer a comprehensive range of hosting and domain solutions for businesses of all shapes and sizes, no matter where they are in the world.
Dis Marivagus Fulcherovishta, hello, welcome to technology.ie. This is Colin Wienichon in the Black Knight Studios, and on Skype is security expert Brian Honan. Hello, Brian, welcome back to the show.
Hi, Colin. Thanks for having me back.
And thanks for joining us. Brian, I've asked you to come on because there's a lot of FUD around, fear, uncertainty and doubt. A lot of confusion, a lot of people printing things in the media and online, in newspapers and elsewhere, and making statements in the Dáil and people saying, ha, I told you so, and that sort of thing, in relation to the alleged surveillance or bugging of the Garda Síochána Ombudsman Commission offices or not, as the case may be in Dublin. A lot of talk about it, and it's become a sort of a point of principle, and there's various arguments and allegations as to who's responsible for reporting what to whom. And there seems to be a lot. What I wanted to talk about is the technical side of it, because it seems to be the technical aspect here, Brian, is where people are falling down, and there's an awful lot of misunderstanding. And frankly, I'm reading things in the newspapers which don't add up or make any sense at all. The company at the heart of this, or the company who were contracted as consultants by GSOC to do an audit of their premises in Dublin, have issued a statement, in fact, yesterday, in which they focus purely on clarifying some of the technical details. And they said their report itself is confidential, but they're speaking out where they see technical inaccuracies, they say. And there are a lot of technical inaccuracies in what's been reported. Brian, can I ask you, first of all, what is it that we know for sure? Is there anything that we know for sure about this?
It's a very good question, Conor, because I think nearly every hour that passes, the situation changes and it's a bit more confusing. But I think if we look back to last week and the Oireachtas Committee meeting where the chair of the Garda Síochána Ombudsman's Commission was questioned, and also to the subsequent release of the report that he submitted to Minister Shatter, what appears to have happened is that during the Veramus security sweep of their offices, there were three findings that they came across. Now, we need to be very careful when we talk about findings and anomalies and what they actually mean. It's basically they came across three vulnerabilities or three potential problems that potentially could cause problems to the Garda Síochána Ombudsman's office. And those three were that there was a wireless device found in the conference room in the GSOC office that was connecting randomly to an external wireless network. Now, we do not know what type of wireless device that was. Okay, so we don't know how big a problem that could or could not cause. We do know that because the chairman of GSOC has stated that there is no wireless network in the office, nor was that device connected to the internal network of GSOC. So that device itself was not connected to the internal network. So that device itself could not have been used to compromise the integrity of the security of GSOC's network. Now, without knowing what type of device it is, we don't know what other threats it could have posed to the office. It simply, I think some media reports have highlighted that it could have been a multimedia device. Now, we don't know what that is, but that it was connecting randomly to the wireless network. So without knowing what the device is, we can't know what threat it posed or not. But it seems to have been examined, and the commission seems to have been satisfied that it didn't pose a threat.
Sorry, Brian, can you repeat that again? What was it that the GSOC chairman said about that device in question?
That was a wireless device. Not that he didn't say what it was, but that their follow-up investigations have ruled it out as being a threat.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. So, but it was included on the Verimus report.
It was included in the Verimus report.
Now,
there was two other issues as well. The second one was that the Verimus ran an alerting test or a test on the phone system within the in GSOC to determine if any of the lines were bugged or were being surveilled. So this test was run at 1 o'clock on a Sunday morning or a Saturday morning. And when the signal was sent down the line, a conference room phone rang at the same, just quite shortly afterwards. Now, the chances of somebody ringing in exactly that time at 1 o'clock in the morning into an office that typically wouldn't be operating at that time in the report was said to be close to zero. Mm. So
again, in as much as we don't know too much of the details here,
yeah,
it would be a legitimate cause for concern.
It could be because that happening could be an indication that there was listening devices on the line, and when the alert went down, they caused the line to ring. Mm. Now, it could also mean that it could have been a misconfiguration on the phone system, that when a strong signal was sent down one line, it caused a problem on the PBX or the central core of the networks of the phone system, or that the conference phone itself may not have been hung up properly. And when the signal went down, it reacted to it. So there could be other innocent issues that could have caused it. Now, again, the chairman of GSOC said that they subsequently went and investigated all their phone logs and could not see if any incoming calls had happened at that particular time, or could not see what else could have happened. So, the absence of any evidence supporting somebody ringing in does not necessarily mean straight away that there was somebody bugging the phones, but it is something that, rightly so, given the profile of an organization like that, you have to take into account and maybe and investigate it further. Now, the third issue that was highlighted was the detection of a UK 3G network in the vicinity of the Commission's office. Now, the details we have in the public domain are that it's simply that it was just a UK 3G network. We do not know what other data might indicate what that might have been. But the immediate reaction would have been that this is what's called an IMSI catcher, which is a device used for surveillance of mobile phones. So basically what it is, it's set up to look and act like a mobile phone base station. All our mobile phones, they do have a vulnerability in them that they try and connect to the strongest signal in the vicinity, the strongest signal from a base station, so you get a good quality phone call. So if you set up one of these IMSI catchers, you boost the signal out to force people's phones to connect to your system, and then you can monitor their calls and eavesdrop on the calls as they go through your catcher and then out onto the network. Now, we don't have any more information apart from the fact that it was a UK 3G network. It could also have, it could have been an IMSI capture, but it could also have been maybe a legitimate base station set up by one of the UK phone providers that we have here in Ireland, such as O2, Vodafone and Three, who may have misconfigured one of their base stations or were in the process of reconfiguring a base station that could have sent that signal out. Or there could be other explanations. There are possibility, one I think what really sparked off a lot of the controversy was some of the commentary was that this type of technology, this IMSI catcher technology, is government level surveillance technology. Yes, it's used by governments for surveillance, but there are commercial companies that will sell those as well, and indeed you can also build one with you can build one as well. There was a at the DEF CON hacker conference back in 2010, one of the researchers at that conference highlighted a similar device that he built. Now, it was targeting 2G devices, not 3G, but 2G devices, and it cost him $1,500 to do that. That was back in 2010. So, again, what we know now is that there were three issues that needed further investigation, but we don't know any more information than that. And we do have people jumping to conclusions that, yes, there's definitely surveillance or not. Like, even if that 3G network turns out to be an IMSI capture, was it, you know, there's no evidence that it was targeting GSOC. It could have been used legitimately to target other items, you know, in the area. And these catchers have a long range as well, you know, so it could have been detected from that was being operating maybe somewhere else in the city centre and just happened to pick it up. So there could be other explanations for that being detected in the area, but to jump immediately to think, oh, their surveillance is happening, you know, without getting any supporting evidence or ruling out the other possibilities, is jumping the gun a little bit.
Brian, in your experience, and I know that your company, BH Consulting, does similar kind of security audit work for clients and consulting for clients on their security. These are the kind of things that are typically highlighted in a security audit. Is that fair to say?
That's correct.
Right. They're potential concerns.
They're potential concerns. And it's something that we come across often with businesses in the city centre. So a lot of companies would have their own network secured, and they may have systems on their network to stop people accessing inappropriate websites or, you know, to accessing personal email or stuff like that during office hours, and they'd have web filters or whatever on their own network. But we've often done reviews where, even though you might be within the office of a company and within their four walls as such, that there would be wireless signals coming into the office from external sources such as coffee shops or elsewhere, which could be providing free wireless. And if you're, you know, if you've got people with laptops and they have the ability to connect to any wireless network they want, well, then there is a potentially way there for a member of staff to bypass your web filters and all your security on your network by configuring their laptop to connect directly with one of these wireless hotspots. And suddenly, now it causes two problems. Number one, that member of staff can now bypass all your filters and download whatever they want or access whatever they want. But secondly, it means you now have a device, a computer on your network connected both to your internal network and to an external wireless network which you have no control over. And that device could end up as being a bridge for somebody outside on that same wireless network to come in and access information on your network. So we would highlight that as being a security issue. Not that we wouldn't say it's a breach. We would say this is something that you need to look at and maybe configure laptops to only connect to the internet via VPNs, or that your laptop can't connect to a wireless network and your network at the same time. Mm-hmm. There you can configure your systems to do that. So it's to make sure that those things are configured properly. So yeah, we would highlight issues like that. We wouldn't necessarily sort of say there's been a breach, but that these are things you should look at in more detail.
And in your opinion, Brian, under what circumstances could you take the next step and go from highlighting something as a vulnerability and a security issue to saying that something is possibly evidence of surveillance or security breach?
Well, I think there's a number of things, there's a number of steps along the way. So just because you've got a vulnerability doesn't mean you've got a security breach. Mm. So a vulnerability is a weakness in your security. It's like having a cheap lock on your front door. Just because you've got a cheap lock on your front door doesn't necessarily mean you have been burgled or that there are robbers in your house just because you got a weak lock. There's other factors to take into account. You know, it means, yes, it's easier for them to get in, but it doesn't mean that they will get in. You know, you could be located in the wilds of Mayo, away from anybody else, and the likelihood of a burglar coming down that way would be less remote than even in the middle of a city centre, and somebody could break in that way. So you'd have to take into account your risk profile, what you're trying to protect. So a vulnerability is simply that, it's a weakness. It doesn't automatically mean you've got a security breach. What you would do, though, is you would look for evidence. You would look for unusual patterns in your security logs or your network traffic to indicate has somebody actually breached your security and how have they breached your security, and then take your investigation from there.
And this, I think, this evidence is something which we don't, if it exists, it's not in the public domain. This is where there's a kind of an information gap here, Brian, in the sense that is it fair to say that we don't know from the limited amount of the technical details that have been revealed, we don't know what has led GSOC to state, for example, that that there was perhaps more to it than this, that there was, a very low probability of something being innocent or something like that. There's possibly more information here that hasn't been publicly shared.
Yeah, the phrase you use, Con, hits it on the nail on the head. We don't know.
Yeah.
We have a lack of information. Now, we've had the report verified last night by another Irish security company, the Ritz Group, and they've come back and said, in their opinion, they don't think there's any surveillance going on either. So, and like Ritz will be highly respected and well regarded within the industry for their capabilities. So, again, without having more information, such as the report or the actual results of the tests and the log files and the context and within which the findings were originally got, it is hard to make a call as exactly what the situation is.
Yeah, but in the meantime, Brian, we've seen people in the media sort of jump into conclusions without an understanding of the technical details, and that there's a problem here overall in terms of how this has been handled in terms of the communication of technical information.
Yeah, it's you're absolutely correct there. I think some of the reports I've read, I just had to shake my head and sigh and just go, a simple phone call to anybody with any technical background could have verified or given
an understanding,
a better understanding, or a steer as to which way the information should go.
There's a lot of talk about the Insomnia coffee shop and all of this, and there's a lot of jokes going on around about it, and that. And I understand it's a Bitbuzz, which is a well-known Irish public Wi-Fi provider, and you get them in places like Insomnia and hotels and bars, restaurants and places like that all over the country. Verimus came out with their statement yesterday, and they said, just to point out that just because it was connecting to what is essentially an innocent public Wi-Fi source, that's not necessarily suggesting that it's all free and clear and above board. And, they pointed out very simply that if you have a device internal in an organization, which, as you've said, is on your network potentially, or within your four walls, if it has the potential, for example, for capturing audio or video, if you have such a device, it should not be connecting to an external network. It's as simple as that.
Well, again, we don't know what the wireless device was in this particular situation. But again, as I said earlier on, like if you take a laptop, a laptop is designed to be portable. Mm. So if you're not going to allow it to connect to wireless networks, well, then you kind of, you're taking away some of the advantages of having a laptop in the first place. You usually give this to people who'll be out on the road, who might be working from hotels or indeed coffee shops or wherever else. So like, security shouldn't be something that stops people doing business. Security should be an enabler to make people do business in a secure and safe manner. So if you're going to give people wireless devices, you make sure that there is proper security on those devices so that when they are accessing wireless networks, that they do so in a secure manner, and that when they are connected to your internal network, that they don't have the capability of also connecting to a wireless network at the same time, because as I said earlier on, that it can act as a conduit or a bridge from the outside and bypass all your security filters. But again, there are security tools you can use to set that up and make that secure. Mm.
But as I was saying, it's an example of the poor reporting on this. Another one is the suggestion that because the consultants in question were from the UK and had UK mobile phones on them, that actually could have generated the signal from a network and potentially that they were seeing the signal from their own phones, which, as very much pointed out, is simply laughable.
It is, but like, if you look where the GSOC offices are, they're based in Dublin City Centre, and there's quite, if you know, I often walk by there, and there are a number of cheap mobile phone shops around the place who offer unlocking of SIM cards. Maybe somebody there was using a device that could have sent off a fake signal, or as I said earlier on, it could have been a misconfigured legitimate base station that was turned on. But again, we don't have enough information to make any concrete conclusions to it.
So let's look at this a different way, Brian. If you were, and bearing in mind that there are legitimate explanations for things which have been identified, that it's also legitimate to highlight them as security concerns. Mm-hmm. If you were going to bug the office of GSOC, or a similar organization.
Yeah.
Are there scenarios identified in this report which could potentially be a way to do it? For example, if you were going to set up this fake network, 3G network, for example, mm-hmm. you could take advantage, or indeed, you know, whether it is the Insomnia Cafe Wi-Fi or whatever. There's so much going on in the RF spectrum in a busy city centre location like that. There are 99 legitimate explanations. It's a good place for you if for potentially someone who did want to intercept communication or to surveil an office such as that. These are ways that it could be done, are they not?
These are ways it could be done, and there are many other ways you would employ as well. They're all saying that there are many ways to skin a cat. So, yeah, there are, you know, there are many other attacks that could be used to try and compromise machines and get the data you want. Mm. Plus, there's also the old-fashioned reliable of bribing somebody on the inside and getting the information that way.
Yeah.
So when it comes to security, you have to look at the broad spectrum and look at how, you know, best thing to do is examine and figure out what it is you're trying to protect. Mm. How valuable is that to your business or to your organization? Where is it located? Mm. Who has access to it? And then what are the risks posed to those assets and how can you mitigate and protect against those risks?
There are other ways as well of I suppose there are more active ways of trying to identify things. There's things such as honeypots. There's things such as maybe I don't know, some way of perhaps planting false information and seeing where it turns up or something like that. You know, how would you advise an organization like GSOC are they broadly on the right track in terms of ensuring their security? Are they perhaps tilting at windmills and perhaps jumping at shadows in the dark? And are there more fundamental things that perhaps they could do, or do we even have enough information?
To be honest, Con, I don't have enough information to make any speculation on how secure the GSOC officer networks are. But, the biggest problems we find when we go in, and both from a security review point of view and when we go in and deal with computer security incidents, is that it's not the super ninja, super cool, high-tech attacks that cause people to have problems. It's simple things such as out-of-date antivirus software on somebody's computer or PC, somebody using poor or simple passwords, and that's used then to compromise an account. Systems not being patched properly. So, your website not being patched properly, your firewalls not being patched properly, your rules on your firewalls not being reviewed. And your log files and not monitoring your system logs or your log files to see is there anything suspicious happening so that you can react in time and limit any potential damage that may happen from a potential security breach.
Finally, Brian, what can we do to help the media better understand what they're reporting on? You know, certainly when it comes to people, obviously, whose business is to cover crime and security and things like that. But when it gets technical like this, there's a bit of help needed here, isn't there?
There is. I think and many of us in the IT business are guilty of this now, and include myself in it, in that we like to speak in buzzwords and techno speak when we're talking to non-technical people, be they journalists or business people or whatever. Mm. And when you talk to somebody in a language that they do not understand, well, then obviously they're not going to appreciate or understand what you're talking about and may quickly misinterpret what you're trying to say. So what we'll have to do is learn how to speak in simple terms and explain things in relatively simple ways, and to lose the techno babble and the techno speak, so that people understand in plain English what it is you're trying to say. So, you know, instead of talking about vulnerabilities, etc., maybe talk about weaknesses. It's just try and speak plain and simple, basically.
All right, Brian, thanks very much for talking to us.
No problem, Con. Thank you for having me on.